Hey guys, Channing Fry here from the Road Tripping Podcast. If you're like me and you're ready to book travel today, the nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you take the first step towards making your dream a reality. NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more so you can easily compare and find what's right for you. Maybe you're looking for some adventure or maybe an elevated heart rate that only tickets to see your favorite team can provide. NerdWallet can help you compare and find the smartest cashback cards to get more from your spending and turn that saved cash into courtside tickets to see your team play up close and personal. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NMLS
1617539. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
I feel like Tom Cruise has a lot of energy.
I'd fucking mop him up in a heart. I'd pick him up and move him, right? And, yeah, and put him in a high chair.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing. I am your host, Allie Clifton. And guys, we're just going to dive right in. Channing, welcome back.
Just want to dive in.
I've heard you had an awesome week in New York City, but we need to give the people what they want. So we're going to start off with congratulating the newlyweds, the Loves. What a last name, by the way. How was the wedding?
I think they're going to go. I think they were going to go Bach. I think it's going to be Kevin Bach. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Kate Bach.
Yeah.
I love Kate, born on the same exact day. However, I highly doubt that's going to be the case. So give me the inside scoop on the wedding.
For reference.
What was the inside scoop, Channing? What was the inside scoop?
I'll say this. And Richard, on the flight back, I've just realized that is the greatest wedding I will ever go to in my entire life. Like, no wedding of anybody that I know from now on, no offense, Allie, yours may be sweeter or more hometown, right? Because you may get, you know, go to back to Toledo and get married on a football field. Who knows? But, like, this was cultivated from Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There was no, like, detail unturned from the music to the drinks, to the food, to the people where they sat, who they were near. Like the people who I sat, I'm still texting. I just met them on Wednesday, and I'm still texting them, like planning a trip back out there with my family and their family. It was just like, it was the best wedding I've ever been to. They had so many damn candles. Golly, I thought they were about to catch the whole thing on fire. I was like, you could have got the fake joints.
They couldn't have had that. They shouldn't have had that many candles near that many books.
Allie, at New York Public. And this is not an exaggeration. 3,000, maybe. Not even an exaggeration. 3,000. Richard, did you forget the candles that went up each stairway? Did you remember all the candles? There were five candles per in front of you. There were five candles, and then another side of five. So that's 10 times 207 people, right? Because there was supposed to be 208, somebody didn't show up.
Why was there only 208? We're gonna tell.
Why do I feel like you guys know who that one person is?
Oh, we do know.
Tristan, who didn't show up?
Tristan got COVID, apparently. a couple hours before the wedding.
Tristan.
But no, I mean,
Tristan, we love you. Thank you for making sure that everyone is safe.
Thank you, Tristan.
Thank you, Tristan.
It was the best though.
Let's talk about some of the touches for weddings. One, it was a beautiful wedding. The shoes. So what they did, obviously, you know, Kevin is a Nike guy, has been with Nike his whole career. So one of like the wedding gifts that they gave to everybody was they asked for your shoe size. So everyone had Air Force One. So about 30 minutes into the wedding, like all or 30 minutes into like the party and the reception, everyone started going in there and I'm like, what is this? And they're like, oh, we got shoes for everyone. So everyone could dance. Everyone could walk around because it was going to be a long night, right? Because the wedding started at, I think, like 7:38. And then there was an after party. There was an after party right across from Bryant Park at a club. So it was like you started from 7. And when I tell you this is, I gave Kevin and Kate a hug at 5 o'clock in the morning on my way to my hotel for my 10 o'clock flight. Right on my way. So it was like you were on your feet for a lot of hours dancing. Some people were sweating. Some people were sweating profusely. that was Channing and Kevin.
Dude, listen.
It was like they needed new jerseys.
We hugged and it just sounded like two sponges hit each other. It was like, and we were just like, oh yeah.
No, it was that.
We
bad.
Hugged
no,
so many
bad.
Times. It was so hot though.
They had multiple shirts and. Me and Channing, we were the MCs. We were the MCs of this wedding.
Let's just say,
how did it go, Channing? How did it go? Well, let's just say.
Hang on.
Let's let yourselves grade the work that you did. What letter grade would you give each other? Channing, what would you give Richard? Richard, what would you give Channing?
Oh, I give Richard for doing the bare minimum. I give him an A+.
How did I do the bare minimum?
I gave you an A plus.
No, I don't want to hear it. The bare minimum is the part that hurts me. I texted Allie, and I was like, "Damn,
were you being lazy, Richard?"
No, I go.
No, it's just Allie. Richard's busy.
I texted Allie. I'm like, "Damn it." And she was like, what? I'm like, Channing's being Channing. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm texting him saying like, hey, bro, do you want to like meet up and go over here? Like, oh, I'm at the peninsula. And I'm like, well, you know, you could invite me to the peninsula just to go over it. So we ended up meeting with Channing about like 30 minutes before we were
10 minutes, not even 30. We got one drink, Richard.
Did you? Okay. But fair to this, at any point in time, did you say, hey, Richard? So first of all, he was texting me all of these long things. Like, this is a good joke. I'm like, why don't we jump on the phone? I called him. He doesn't pick up. So then I'm like, do you want to meet at the peninsula? Like, are we? And he's like, oh, I was like, do you want to meet? I'll be down in Soho. Let's meet up. I'm going to grab a drink because JB Bickerstaff and Nikki Bickerstaff were there. The Cavs head coach. I'm like, I'm going to be down there grabbing a drink with them. Do you want to meet up and maybe go over this? And then Jenny's like, oh, I'm at the peninsula. And I'm like, oh, okay, I could come to the peninsula also. Like I was just
It's
a hotel. It's a peninsula hotel. So I was offering up opportunities. So I called Channing. I offered to come down to his hotel to meet him. He told me he was at another hotel, and then you asked him to grade me, and he said, for doing the bare minimum, I give him A+. I'm like, bro, like I was trying to get a hold of you. I even texted Allie, like, fucking Channing, because we're going to be up in front of these people. But now this is what I will say. So after a while, I got frustrated, and I just texted Channing. I'm like, hey, you know what, bro? These are your Oregon people. You know them better. I'm just going to support you. Channing was an A+. I will give Channing an A+ because we didn't have a chance to really go over much, so we just wung it, and Channing stole the show. Channing was hilarious. He was heartfelt. Might have got a little emotional.
I did get emotional.
Might have got a little emotional.
I always get a wedding guy. Yeah, I definitely cried. Oh, I definitely cried. I definitely cried.
Yeah, so he
for
got
sure. And then I had to be wrangled back. Yeah, got to be wrangled back.
Yeah, and then it was like people came up and was like, "Here, we'll take the mic." But we got more stories. This episode is going to be the story. There's a couple of things, people that we need to point out. Jordan Clarkson might be one of the most awesome human beings that I have been around in a long time. Right now, I've been around Jordan, like Luke Walton, had him as a player, so I've seen Jordan, and everyone talks about how much they love Jordan. Well, this was my first time.
He's been on road tripping.
Spending, Yeah, I know, but I'm saying this is my first time really spending hours with him. And when I tell you, bro, he was that dude at the party. Everyone couldn't take their eyes off of him. He, like, me and Channing are giving his speeches. He just walked up, said a couple of words, and like handed the mic back and then like left. Then another time he came up with his napkin. He had it as a bandana, right? He had it as a bandana with his locs on and his braids through, and was just like giving a speech and then like left again. Now, mind you, there was only like five people that were supposed to give speeches, right? Me and Channing were supposed to MC like the mom, the brothers and sisters and all this other stuff. And
then Jordan was best friends, we're gonna go always.
Talk. Yeah. And Jordan was just stealing the show. Shirt off.
Jordan, yeah, oh man, yeah. Jordan is in our group that, like, if we were to compare our group to like the Bulls, Jordan is Dennis Rodman all day, every day. When we wear a suit,
I like that.
Jordan wears some shit that I swear he just went to a secondhand store and put on, but it looks cool as shit that I could never wear, and it was really expensive. He has rings on, right? Like, he brought Thanos' gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
I can't tell. Is he a fashion dude? A rocker? Is he emo? Is he a gangster?
You don't know
all the things.
And then you start talking to him, like, so what's going on? You know, Bob? He's like, you know what? I just been looking for a change, so I just moved to Paris. You're
like, he just moved to what? He just moved to Paris?
Paris. Just Paris. Like, he trains and lives in Paris. And exactly. See your face? See your face right now? You see your face? That's why I'm just like.
This is also the guy that says he has a life-size Chucky doll in his home. A Chucky doll? Chucky doll or a clown
really
or something?
Like,
yeah. I mean,
there's no doubt. Yeah. It was Jordan definitely stole the show. Give us more questions.
Okay.
We're going to tell everybody about the
wedding. We're going to continue to talk about the wedding. We're going to get back to it. But first, because you said it, Channing, now you have to fill out the rest of who you guys are compared to the Bulls. So if Jordan Clarkson is Dennis Rodman, you've got JR, you've got Rich, you've got you, you've got, I even saw that Champ was there. You've got Kevin, you've got Braun, you've got Tristan. So we have to include Tristan.
Okay. So Richard will say one. All right. I don't want to say Bill Weddington. He wasn't. Nobody had Bill Weddington. But what about Bill Cartwright had a weddy, though? Bill Cartwright.
Weddy.
Bow.
Weddy. Weddy.
Bill Cartwright.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
That's the only example because, you know, on our team, you know, Shump is Shump all the time. Shump doesn't just wear like a sweatsuit. I've never seen Shump wear a team given sweatsuit. He got to wear Shump's fit. Jordan is that times 100. Like,
Jordan's not doing it. Jordan's not doing it for the show. That's just who Jordan is.
That's Jordan.
Jordan. And again, I'm not saying that's not who Shump is, but Shump likes to be different. Whereas, in I believe at times that Jordan just is different in the most awesome way. But when I tell you the entire place and also Larry Nance Jr. First time I really had a chance. Like, we've seen.
He's the best.
First time he's we were crying.
Hilarious.
First of all, my favorite thing of the wedding, right? And like, there's always that group that when everyone's giving the speeches, like, that are distracting everyone and everyone's shh. So like, it would be me, Channing, Jordan, JR, JB, Darius Garland. So we're all over
Larry
crying, trying to. And JB Bickerstaff, JB Bickerstaff's wife, Nikki, she keeps going, "You guys aren't whispering. You guys aren't whispering," because we kept being like, "Yo, just
children,
in tears, children, full
children.
On children,
oh, children,
been drinking and all the things."
Oh.
It was awesome, but like the joke. So like, me and Channing were like, "All right, bro, we're gonna we're sitting here looking for material." We see this like they had this like group of orphans come out and like sing, right, and like sing, and like sing at the library,
yes.
And they were like, it was like sister act. It was like Sister Act,
oh,
and they were like,
yes.
They were like the 8-year-old version of Sister
Dude.
Act. Beautiful voices. Aww. And the acoustics, amazing. Like, people were getting teary-eyed, but it was like, once the kids were gone, like the diversity in the group definitely dropped. in the whole wedding party, the diversity of the group drop. But we're sitting up there trying to figure out, like, what are the jokes? What are we going to say? And so we got up there.
What can we say?
What can we say?
Did you guys take it from, like, a comedic standpoint? Like, you picked on people in the crowd?
Roast.
Oh.
Roast.
You roasted people in the crowd. Did you roast Adele?
Yes. We didn't get the time.
I don't know if she went to the ceremony.
She was there. I saw her.
She went to the ceremony. Oh, the after party.
She was there.
We had jokes for her. You should see my napkin.
We made jokes.
My napkin was lit up.
I need some jokes.
Well, one of the jokes was, by the way, I love Adele. We couldn't believe, you know, it's so great to see Adele here. You know, we can't believe that. You know, again, these are like little one-liner jokes. Like, we can't believe that she used Rich Paul as her plus one. We talked about, hey, you know, it's tough. You know, Tristan's not here, you know, but due to certain legal situations, he's not allowed to leave the state of California without multiple notices. Oh, we were, this was not like.
Yeah.
And let me say this. And we started off with some jokes that will not be repeated. The initial reaction was, hey guys, it's gonna get worse. Kate and Kevin knew what this was. We're like, ladies and gentlemen, James Jones is here, fresh off an NBA Finals last year. You know, roasting everyone.
Well, because you know, it's like the speeches are amazing, but like the energy in the room, everybody wanted to have fun. Like they wanted people to be on the dance floor right after they did their first dance. I thought, okay, five or six people, right? Because usually it's like they do their first dance, then you dance with your parents, then you do this. Allie, all 200 people, whoom, like piranhas went to the dance floor. That's how I knew shit was going to be different. Like, that's how I knew people were in there dancing. It was just like, I'm a wedding guy in general, so I get super hyped. But dude, that was the best wedding I've ever been to. There's nothing that we're going to go to. Huh?
Who performed?
Who what?
They had an amazing band. We were going to, the band was crazy.
If
we could do it over, I think me and Channing could really lay it out and add some more time. Like in my head, I wanted to be like, yo, we're so excited that Adele is here to perform. Right. Just to make it awkward.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right? Just to make it awkward. We were going.
Guys, we have a huge surprise. Thank you so much to Adele for singing her whole album tonight only for us. Thank you.
And it was just like,
here she goes.
Yeah. It's like Rich Paul's the work.
She also takes requests. Yeah.
The DJ's willing
breaking black people quota.
We were doing all the jokes, all the things. And it was more of like, this is where the key was and why I think we were able to have as much fun. There were no phones allowed. You know, obviously, you know, her pictures and his pictures were in vogue. So there was a lot of like secrecy and like the first eyeballs. And you want to respect, especially like people's moments. Channing might have said, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, Kate and Kevin Bach.
Everyone was like, what? And they just walked in, like, fuck it, we knew it.
Yeah, it was all the
bad wedding jokes.
All the bad wedding jokes. We talked about some stuff that we won't repeat, but yeah, let's just say.
What is the stuff we won't repeat? Like, you don't have to, because
when you know that there aren't phones and you can actually like say some private stuff and say some real jab jokes, then, you know.
Yeah.
How long did you guys entertain for?
We only did like three, four jokes. Then we invite somebody up. Then we would listen, and then we would get back up there, 3-4 jokes.
And then we got interrupted by Jordan twice. And then at the end, we didn't have. What was wild was like, I had been there early. I got the whole schedule, and my dumbass never asked, "What do we do after we're done?" So the minute that we were done, like I was like, "Okay, then we're done." And then Kevin had come up, JR came up, Jordan came back up, and I was just like, somebody, God, please take this mic.
Yeah, I walked away. I tried to walk away, and I was like, Yeah. See, this is the thing. It's the opening and the close. You got to have the opening and the close. You got. We didn't have the close. We didn't really rehearse the close. But
we did not have the close.
Judging from your reactions, Allie. Judging from your reactions, like, because that's the thing. Like, they have like the family come up, and then you hit them with the Steve Nash joke. The family comes up, you know. Then another person comes up. We hit them with you know. Oh, it's so like the coach, Kevin's high school coach, stole one of our jokes about like. You know, so good to be a part of the most important ring in Kevin's life, and now the second most important ring also. Oh yeah, that's a good joke.
That was a great joke.
I was like, Coach, you can't steal our material. We only got so much shit up here. You know, you can't be stealing our material.
Okay, so obviously, because you guys are all famous, was there someone there that you were like, holy shit, they're
Adele, amazing. Fucking Adele. Adele, yes. She's like, what? That's like having Whitney Houston. It's like having Whitney Houston there. Like, can we put Adele?
I made her laugh.
Yeah. Can we put Adele in the same category as like Celine Dion, Whitney Houston, like Madonna, Lady Gaga? Like, she's in that same category. Like, her album, her one album is like tenth all time in record sales. Like, and you're sitting here like,
oh, trust me. Yeah. We know her scrapbook, but I just wasn't sure because, again, no phone. So we haven't seen every single guest.
That was the one person.
There were some, the guest list was, and I was talking to Lauren on a ride, the people, like sometimes you go to a wedding and you're like, oh God, why is this guy here? Right? That's what they probably thought about us. But I was like, every single person that I met was genuinely somebody really fucking nice. Right? Half of them obviously were from Vancouver. Other people were from Portland. But like the New York people, like I didn't know who they are. It's like Michelin star chefs, master sommeliers in wine, like restaurateurs, like powerful, powerful people in their own right. And it's just like we're just kicking it all week long, just like as best friends. Like we had just not seen, we've never met each other, but it's just like, oh, I haven't seen you in years. It was like, people were dancing. Like, I'm telling you, for me to be like, hey, I want to get myself and my four big-ass kids on a plane, it means a lot, especially to go out to hot-ass New York.
I got a good one. Russell Westbrook.
Oh, that was funny. Okay, yeah, they thought we were going to get on.
We're roasting Rich, everyone.
Kevin ran.
Listen, so we, like, Channing gets the mic, and he's like, this was literally the thing. He goes, we had some jokes about Russell Westbrook. Kevin goes up there, he's like, don't you dare. And he was like, no, we had some jokes about Russell, but after what we saw, what he said to Skip Bayless about don't say nothing you wouldn't say to my face, we decided against saying anything about Russell. You just keep doing God's good work, Russell. You keep killing Skip Bayless. We are all on board.
That was funny.
After we had said about four or five jokes, I think like it was like the third time, because we would go up for like, the first time we went up for like 2 or 3 minutes, then like family would come up, then we would go up for like a minute, say one or two things. It wasn't like we were doing a stand-up routine or we were up there for 20 minutes. It was like 3 minutes, the families would hand the mic to us, and then we would say two or three more jokes. So it was like the third time we got up there, people were already like laughing uncomfortably and having fun. So once he said Russell Westbrook, everybody's like holding on. They're like, oh, what is he going to say? That's why Kevin got up and was like,
it literally was written like that.
Joke was literally written. Russell Westbrook. But after what we saw, he said to Skip Bayless, we decided to just leave him out of this. And he thought it was funny. And then, we might have made some jokes about, you know, Steve Nash and whatever. And even one time when I made the joke, about somebody, I saw Russell's eyes light up. Russell's eyes light up. He's like, oh, that's what these dudes are on? Oh, okay. But it was so, so much fun. Like, we could tell these stories and jokes who was the person that probably got roasted the most was Tristan. Tristan was probably the person that got roasted the most.
It's so easy to roast someone when they're not there. And Tristan
is just so easy to roast in general. And then Kevin put it on the text chain. Kevin put it on the text chain like 3 hours before. Hey guys, just got a text from Tristan saying he's not coming.
When Channing started crying, Richard, did you pat his back?
Oh God!
Did you support him? What made you cry?
Yeah, 100%. No, 100%. I support him, and he doesn't have to give his story unless he chooses. But the real thing that people need to make sure they understand is that the brotherhood and the support is real. It's super, super real. The shit that Channing's gone through, the shit that I've gone through, the shit that Kevin's gone through. And even when you threw it, you look back on the people that were there for you and supporting you and helping you through those moments. And then you have a moment to tell them how much you appreciate them. Like, it's real. So when he got emotional, I was like, bro, I was with you on Thanksgiving when your dad passed. Like,
oh, and
when
it was you're one telling, of these moments.
It was one of those types of speeches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just think, first of all, we are having fun. Go ahead.
I thought you were just emotional because Kevin and Kate finally tied the knot.
No, he didn't give a shit about love.
Okay. Go on.
No. I think, well, obviously you get caught up in the moment, but like, you realize how important, like, the wedding was perfect. Mm-hmm. And for us, even us big goofballs, to even get an opportunity to be there, like, Kevin got engaged, and then 2 days later, we're like, guys, we want you to MC. And we're like, fuck no. Yeah. And then Kate called, are you sure? So for even that opportunity in that part of the wedding is pretty big, man. And so, like, I think Kevin, they could plan whatever they want, but everything went perfectly in my eyes, right? Even the mistakes were funny and created memories. Like, oh, you remember when Jordan did this or Channing did that. But, you know, that was probably one of the last times we may get all those guys in that room. Yeah. So, like, Steve is from my 2010 team. Larry and Jordan was my retirement year. Obviously, Richard, James, right? Big Dan was there. Kevin, JR, right? All those guys. So I may never see all them in one group. Tristan, I may have to.
How was Braun? Was Braun there?
Braun was great. But we
Braun was Braun, though.
Braun was, you know, drinking, having fun, talking about, like, his workout, and then he was going to work out in the morning. And
drinking all the Lobos.
Talking about, I'm going to work out in the morning. It's like, bro, we fucking get it, dude. We get it. No, Braun was one of the last ones standing.
We get it. You know, I'm going to work out?
Braun definitely was. But that was the cool thing about, like, Braun was sitting right there, and it was like, we don't need to make fun of him. We make fun of his ass every day, right? We were going after the people that we don't get to target on the regular. Right. And I think the best part about it, even when Russ, and I don't know Russ, right? I don't know Russ personally, but like the best part about some of those moments and the more that people get to know you, it's like, no, this is what we do to our brothers. Like, we're never going to be malicious. We're going to crack jokes because that's just who we are. Right. And people were sitting there was like, all you fuckers were in the same locker room. And we're like, yeah, it was chaos.
It was a problem.
Because they were like,
it was a problem.
You, Channing, Braun, JR, like, and it was like, oh yeah, we were
this Jordan McRae. Like, oh,
yes, this locker room was a problem. Was a problem.
You couldn't listen if your outfit was wrinkly, if your socks weren't all correct. Just know you were gonna get that rotisserie roasting on the way out. So you had to have two attitudes. You had to already have assessed the room. And who you're going to make fun of. You're not making fun of Mozzie. He's Russian. He's liable to chuck you out. Deli don't give a fuck. And he's Australian and got a bad attitude, right?
Love you,
Deli. And then you can't make fun of the big money guys that might be emotional based on where they are at the time. So you just got to be wary of who you're making fun of and where. Or you just got to be ready to throw them hands and be really aggressive. Like, don't make fun of me today. Right.
But it was nonstop, and like dudes would walk in. It was, you know what it was. It felt like a locker room again because the same jokes that we would make in the locker room because there were no phones. We were like, oh, let's fucking go. I'm gonna say, listen, you know, there was definitely some too soon jokes, right? Definitely some too soon jokes. So it's like definitely some too soon jokes.
Can I get one of those? Yeah, for sure.
No, we can't. No, I don't even want those. I don't want those.
No, no, we'll leave that.
I don't want to trust anybody with those edits. I don't want to trust anybody with those edits.
Anything we left out? Anything about the after party?
The after party was beautiful, man. It was a beautiful thing to watch. Wild. Like 150 people walk out in black tie attire in Air Force Ones from the New York Library. By the way, that was my first time in the New York Library ever, and I lived there for 7 years.
Same here.
Why does that not surprise me about either of you?
Yeah, it's because, you know. And you know, whatever.
Oh, hold on while I go get my book.
That's nerd. What are you talking about, bro, Mr. Whatever. Anyways, But it was just really cool to see that walk. Everybody sweating, like still in like three-piece suits. God. And like I wore like a velvet smoking jacket. That was stupid. And so like we walked across Bryant Park at 2:30 in the morning to go to the club, which was across the street. The club was just us. It was raging till 5. And it was just like, it was chaos. It was like the most beautiful, like fun. And they did so many things. Cause you know, if people were going to still be in their like hard bottom shoes at 4 in the morning and sweating, cause like, it was like, no, they gave us some, they gave us some tube socks and Air Force Ones, and people were loving it. We're going to keep talking about the shoes because the shoes were a genius.
Was the best, like, ingenious thing ever.
Yeah. So smart. Well, congratulations to the Loves on their love. That's wonderful. What a great recap. Do you guys think that you guys could host like the Oscars? Or,
yes.
Like, do you think you guys...
Yes, because awesome? As much as I love Will Smith, I love Will Smith, like we don't act physical, like we are physical. So if he were to do some shit, right?
Yeah.
Well,
first of all, dude, if somebody walks up on you like that, they doing one or two things. And if they're walking up on you on stage, I don't like Chris Rock's. Chris Rock was just like, what did he think he was going to give him a hug?
That was a funny joke, by the way.
Alopecia is not funny, but that was a funny joke.
Being bald is not funny.
Richard, I am defending you.
I don't have alopecia, bro. I have eyebrows. I really look at all the Hollywood actors, and I'm like, The Rock, you know, but even then, he's like 6 foot. Yeah. He's probably the only one that I'm like...
The Rock is a big boy now.
I know, he's probably like 6'2". But The Rock is the only one I look at like...
The Rock may be stiff. He lifts a lot of weights.
The only entertainer I might look like second at like... Okay, well, listen, if we're going to tussle...
Liam Neeson?
No, bro. This is not a movie set.
I will find you and I will kill you.
Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth is pretty tall. I feel like he's tall too. He built like fucking Thor.
Yeah, big boy. Anybody that does an action movie, I feel like Tom Cruise has a lot of energy.
I'd fucking mop him up in a heart. I'd pick him up and move
Tom
him.
Tom Cruise?
Right?
Tom Cruise?
Put him in a high chair.
Can we make a segue and use Tom Cruise?
You saw what he did to Oprah's couch.
Go ahead, Allie.
Excuse me?
Okay.
What did he do to her couch?
No. Hey, when he jumped.
Remember, Allie was jumping on Oprah's couch?
Allie doesn't remember that.
All right, let's take a quick time out because we have a few great products that we want to tell you about this week.
Hey everyone, it's Channing, and I'm back to tell you more about our friends over at NerdWallet. You still thinking about those big travel plans we mentioned at the top of the episode? Well, what if we told you NerdWallet can help you take the first steps to make those dreams a reality? NerdWallet's team of nerds research hundreds of the top credit cards, mortgages, and more, so you can easily compare and find out what's right for you. Let's get you even more rewards with a smart cashback card for all your trip essentials. NerdWallet can help you find a card to give you cash back on restaurants, gas, car rentals, even those hot pretzels at the game. Ready to compare your way there? Take the first step by discovering the smartest credit cards, mortgages, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NMLS 1617539.
All right, road trippers, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Our entire crew loves it, and we know you will too. Prize Picks has the best prop games across the market, whether it's Major League Baseball, UFC 276, Wimbledon, or even NFL Week 1 games. They offer more props than any other DFS operator, and they offer every player and stat category you can think of. Want to get in the game now? There's no better time with plenty of different sports in full swing. All new users that make their first deposit and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN will receive an instant 100% deposit match up to $100. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players and select an over-under on their daily projections. And you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks even allows mixed sport entries. Use the award-winning Prize Picks app either on the App Store or Google Play today. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Sign up today and enjoy a special bonus offer on us. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN or go to your app store and download the app today. Remember, road trippers, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. From sweating at Kevin and Kate's wedding to, we'll talk a little basketball, but the segue, why are they always sweating in Top Gun?
Well, because they have all of that stuff on.
They're wearing jeans outside?
Like, that's no, part like of the even glistening. When they're sitting inside, like, and they just got out of the shower, they're sweating the entire movie. I'm like, what is this?
Well, you've never seen the first one. That's the way it was.
Yes,
in the first
huh?
One.
I watched the first one. I haven't seen the second the first one because.
They were sweating in the whole first one, right?
The whole time.
That's part of the aesthetic. That's part of the aesthetic. They're working. They're grinding.
I mean, let's leave it. No.
They put baby oil on their nips.
They baby oiled up.
Okay, I'm okay with like that part, but like the beads of sweat on their face, like after they got out of the shower, and they're still sweating. I just didn't get it.
It's steamy in there.
That's the part that seemed weird to you? That the part, not Tom Cruise flying fighter jets and like beating like a fifth generation like MiG, and you're just like, like they don't even make fuel for those planes anymore that Tom Cruise is flying at the end. And then like the perfect timing of what's the name, like blowing up. Okay, no, we're gonna stop with the spoiler alerts.
Don't tell me that they didn't watch the movie.
Great movie. I took my kids and they loved it. Funniest thing I took, so me, Luke Walton, and we took all of our kids. And like, so his son and then Lil Rich and Phoenix, they were sitting next to me. And the opening scene to Top Gun is very similar to the opening scene for the first one, which is like 2 straight minutes of just like Kenny Loggins, Danger Zone. And like after the credits was over, Luke's little boy goes, "That was intense," like yelling at the movie theater. Like, and I'm like, yeah, bro, this is an intense movie. Hold on. And they loved it. They wanted to watch it again and again.
Of America.
Can we tell Channing about the fact that you were telling me how excited Little Rich and Phoenix were to hang out with Lawson for 3 straight days? And so as Rich is trying to explain to me the difference of the kids right now, he said that Lawson is kind of like a Kyle Korver. And then he went to say that Little Rich and Phoenix are like a Shump. And then I was like a Shump.
Oh,
and then
God.
he goes, "Let me take a step back. They're actually like a Channing."
Yes. Like those two are like.
So everybody loves them, and he is very genuinely nice to everyone.
Phoenix, he actually started to describe them as annoying Lawson. They're annoying Lawson. They're all over Lawson. Lawson, Lawson, Lawson. So then they started with Shump, and then he was like, "Matt, they're more like Channing."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah. They're just.
It was funny.
My kids are like that. Oh, my guy, Brazzi. Matt Brazzi is a coach out here for Portland. Anytime he comes over, my kids don't remember nobody's name. They're like, "Brazzi, let me show you this. Let me show you that. Let me show you this. Let me show you that. Brazzi, come over here. Look at this. Hey, look, I'm shooting the ball. Hey, do you want to shoot me?" And I'm just like, damn.
Is Hendrix talking?
Damn.
We got basketball to talk. We got basketball to talk to. Because there is some shit that I want to talk
about. Do you want to talk about basketball? Because you just threw your head back, almost broke your neck, rolling your eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Where would you like to start? We could talk about Kyrie opting in to $36.5 million. I don't know about you guys, but I actually thought there was a chance that wasn't going to happen. Am I crazy
chance,
for that?
Now,
did you guys?
This is very clear for all when people were, I don't necessarily say critical of Kyrie, but this is when I want to make sure people are very clear. Kyrie is one of the most special like athletes this country has ever seen. Not just basketball player. Like what he's able to do physically, his footwork, his skill set. Athlete. Yes.
Athlete?
Yes. Yes.
Athlete?
Yes. Athlete.
Is that French?
Athlete. So
he's athletic.
When I say this, as I mean that like so many people are supportive of Kyrie during all of the Be Different and all. Everyone's very supportive. But the time is going to come where it is not about your skill set. And when there was like, "Hey, I'm willing to be signed and trade to these places." And a lot of these places didn't have space, or a lot of these places weren't willing to do it. Kyrie could have potentially been a free agent. And there are teams with cap space, but he might not have wanted to be there. Point of this is you can be different. But once the teams are like, "Oh, it's time to hand out the money," they want to know that people are going to fall in line. And I think that the last week or so for Kyrie is evident, not necessarily to Kyrie, I think Kyrie knows this, but to the rest of the world. It's like the difference between him getting a $200 million extension and the only thing out there for him like was a $6 million contract from the Lakers. That was the only thing. That's why he opted in, because Dave's like, "Hey, bro, like if you want that $200 million, you got to go prove to it."
Can you help me make sense of this? Kyrie said, Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. I've made my decision to opt in. See you in the fall. Being different would not be to opt in, correct? I think people are, if you're trying to be different, no. You probably would have
taken the step. I assume in his mind, him being different is him not taking the quote unquote easy way out.
Okay.
By going to the Lakers or by, right? So for me, this should have been a non-subject. Like, whether your name is Kyrie, KD, James Harden, Kyrie played 30 games last year, and he was hurt the year before that. And then all of a sudden, you just assume that people are going to give you $200 million and commit to you when they feel like the commitment to consistency is not there, right? They're not saying you're not a good player. They're not saying you don't love basketball. The consistency and the commitment to consistency is not there, as it seems to people on the outside and obviously to the rest of the league. So that is the non-issue. It's not an issue. Prove yourself. It's not like you're taking a bad deal. Like, Kyrie, you've been injured a lot. You're betting on yourself for 1 year. I think this might be one of his better years in his career. To me, I think so. If he can stay healthy. Because of the motivation and the pressure on him now to prove himself. He has to reprove that he can be committed to try to play 82 games in a year, right? And in the playoffs. But like, nobody's like, no, I'm not giving you $200 million for you to just say, something's going on. I don't want to play today. We need you out there to win. And that's where I think this shouldn't have been an issue. It's just an issue because it's Kyrie.
No, and one of the things that we talked about is like, yo, like when we were saying things to Kyrie or about the situation, it's like, bro, you're going to cost yourself $200 million. What's going on? Like the Nets were trying to extend him. And I know that there was like some contract if he waited till the end of the season than this. And like, look, I stand by the vaccine. There was a lot more players that were unvaccinated. We saw it with Matisse Thybulle. There were some players on a lot of different teams that, you know, since they haven't been, you know, talked about, but there's a lot of different guys on different teams that weren't vaccinated. So it wasn't just him. And so I'm not trying to force anything on him. And he was told by the NBA that they wouldn't, but the city put a mandate on him. So he's looking at it, it's like, I was ready to play. I was this, I was that, this something. And I support that. But also there was other things. It wasn't just that. You don't not get your $200 million because you just couldn't play the first portion. Don't say it's not just that. And anybody that's saying it was just the vaccine is why he didn't get a long-term extension. Or the Nets were like, yo, we'll give you a multi-year extension, but like we need to have games played, we need to have this, we need to have that. And a lot of that is the Nets trying to take some control back, in my opinion. I don't know specifically. I didn't talk to Sean Marks or Steve or anybody about it. It's just like teams want control, right? They want to make sure like we are paying you not to be different. We are not paying you to be an activist. Not saying that all of those things you should be. You should be more than just a basketball player, but we are paying you to play basketball.
To play basketball.
That is what we are paying on. And if you aren't playing basketball, then we don't want to pay you. And that goes for any job, right? If you are a baker and you are paid to bake cakes and you are choosing not to do that because you're like, I really like accounting. And it's like, well, we're paying you to bake cakes. You can do all the accounting on the side as long as you show up on your 9 to 5 to bake the cakes. And I think that's, you know, I know it's a simple analogy, but the teams were going to get their money back. The teams were going to gain some control. And so that's the part where, like, hopefully Kyrie has the year that everyone knows he can. He plays in 75 games and the Nets win a championship and he goes, gets a max deal. Great for him.
So you're sitting here, are the both of you convinced that Kyrie Irving will play for the Brooklyn Nets next year?
Yeah. To start the season? Yes. To start the season? No. You don't think that he's going to be on the team to start?
I think there's going to be a lot of Richard. I think there's going to be a lot of movement this summer. I think there's not, no offense to Zach LaVine or some of the other guys, there are right now no superstar names out there. And I think from what I am reading, the Nets made a posture to go, you know what? We're okay. Kyrie, you want to go somewhere else? For this $37 million on your last year, we can get some, because I think people forget the Brooklyn Nets were eighth. They made the playoffs 2 years in a row before Kyrie and KD came. So the Nets believe they can inject people into their culture and redo that. So if somebody doesn't want to be there, whether that's KD or Kyrie, they are trying to get that culture back. And they also want people to want to play in Brooklyn, right? Because you look at some of these teams that are really successful, all right, like i.e. Golden State, people are wanting to go there and play there for less money. Or you look at Dallas, people want to go play in Dallas. People want to go play in Phoenix. People want to go play in the Clippers because they believe in the coach, they believe in the players, and they believe they have an opportunity. But if you don't have a bad, if you have a bad culture, then nobody's going to want to play. And then you're not going to get those older free agents that you need to really win championships.
That's facts. Well said. Well said. Like, you got it. What yes, up, Hendricks? You got to those opportunities, man, like, are very rare. I saw a thing that said Looney this year played more games this single season than Kyrie has in his three season with the Nets. Now, I know that I know that that is the,
he played.
That's a little skewed because he played in the final, but that just shows you when everyone's saying the best ability is availability. It's like, we can't give $200 million and $50 million a year to someone that we don't believe. And again, it's all about the cap space. It doesn't matter if it's $50 million, $20 million 20 years ago. It's like, we can't give max dollars to someone if we don't believe that we're going to get max effort from them. And it doesn't mean just on the court. It means as leaders, as people that are showing up, as people that are all in. And I'm not saying Kyrie's not all in.
Representers yeah. of the organization.
Yeah. And
right? Why do you think, you know, Miami keeps UD around? Because he represents the organization, right? It's like, does he play? Hell to no, he don't play. But he represents the organization. People go, you know what? I like this type of hierarchy. I like that everyone is held accountable. And all I got to do is my job to be successful. Sometimes when there's all these other things, and here's what's not skewed, Richard. That's over yeah. 3 years, right? And Kyrie's not the youngest player. So it's not over 1 year. It's not like, oh, Kevon Looney played 104 and Kyrie played, you know, 102. It's like 3 years, right? At a one. That availability is needed because, you know, and I was telling somebody why certain guys stay six men is the consistency of playing basketball. How do you coach a team when somebody can't play or isn't available half the month? How do you scout? Like, how do you prepare who starts? Who comes off? The guy that has to go in for you is the guy that's screwed because he could be having a great month and all of a sudden, you know what, I'm ready to play now. And you got to go sit on the bench.
Statements made, and I know that there was probably some lost context in them when there was like, oh, we don't need a coach. Or when the season was over, it's like, oh, well, me and Josiah and Sean and KD really have to focus on the direction of this franchise. Those are some things. Look, say what you want about Bron. Say what you want about Bron. But that motherfucker shows up every single night. He'll go do a movie. He'll go do a music video. He'll go start a company. And that motherfucker's going to show up and give you 30 every single day and do all the yeah. stuff. That doesn't mean that he's flawless or this. But, like, if you want the Bron type of control over a franchise that some of these players have, and Bron's not the first one, and he won't be the last one. There's a lot of players like him. Kobe had similar control over the Lakers of, like, hey, this is the direction I feel this is best, blah, blah, blah. Like, these things happen with great players in franchises. Tim Duncan, right? Where they have input on who's around and stuff like that. It varies per player. But, like, if you want that type of control of a franchise, bro, you got to be front and center. That means that you are putting, you know, you are putting everything first, right, on the basketball court. And that's not just on the court. It is the leader. It's the locker room. It's the media. You're putting all of that first, and then you get that. Talent alone will not get you control of a franchise, at least not a successful one. At least not a successful one. If you want an input, then you have to be contributing on the business end. You have to be contributing to the community in a positive way. All of these things. And now, we're not saying that Kyrie isn't all of those things. We're just saying if you want that control, he needs to do more. the control and the money all come together, you have to give them more. That's why they wanted more games. That's why they wanted more things stipulated in his contract, because if we're going to give you this, we need more than what we've been getting. That's the way business works. This ain't basketball. This is business.
From one star to the next, Russell, I don't think anyone was surprised that he opted into his contract, obviously, $47.1 million. Do you think that he is in a Laker uniform next season?
Yeah, I think some of the... I think some of these dudes are going to start the season that way.
How about John Wall?
Yeah,
Do you have something to say about Russ? Go for it.
No. I think Russ has a comeback year. Personally, I think sometimes, you know, not saying the last coach wasn't good. I think sometimes communication varies between player to player. And I also think hopefully they make some upgrades to the roster to create better spacing. And better movement. And I think sometimes humble pie changes your attitude towards the season. But I think he's going
to
be fine.
When it comes to John Wall, we're speaking of Kyrie, who hadn't played a lot of games, as we talked about on last week's episode, only 46% over the last 3 years for Kyrie. John Wall, over the last 3 years, has only played 40 games, expected to get that buyout with the Rockets and sign with the Clippers. Do you guys think John Wall?
Love it.
Yeah, he'll be their third or fourth best
Here's
player.
Why. Here's what I would do. Come off the bench, work your legs in. Because realistically, they don't need John Wall. If you can get John Wall to get in shape, be a change of pace guy, people forget. Paul George and Kawhi are going to do their thing. They have Norman Powell. They have Robert Covington. They have
Zubac.
I forget his name. It was my dad. Big Zubach. There we go. Right? I call him Zubach. That's my nickname for him. And then he comes off the bench with no pressure. We know Kawhi isn't going to play every single game based on his health issues. We know Paul George isn't going to play every single game. So, hey, John Wall, when you get the opportunity to run that team, now you're going to build your confidence. If you have John Wall, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard all being able to play at different times of the game, they're only going to make people better. I think their screen and roll game is going to be better. I think the others are going to love playing with John Wall. Everybody that I know had an opportunity to play with John Wall has said he's a pass-first guard at all times. Now, is he going to make him shoot the jumper? Absolutely. How is he going to be on defense? Those are things that if he comes off the bench, there's not a lot of pressure on him because he's playing against second unit guys. So that's what I would do. Bring him off the bench early in the season. Let him get his legs. Let him make his mistakes. And then grow the team up to be in the playoffs.
Did he go ACL and Achilles? He went ACL and Achilles, right? He had a similar situation to Clay. Yeah, if you look at John Wall prior to these two tough injuries, even though, you know, performance and have been struggling a little bit, like, he had typically been on court. Not that he hadn't had some injuries, but, you know, he had like a back-to-back injury spot, and then the Houston Rockets were like, if we play you, we're going to win games, and we're trying to lose games so we can get top picks. That's where he was in a tough spot, so it's tough to compare those two.
Before we go and sign out on this one, we do have to, and I didn't hear the whole clip, so I hope it is exactly said as it was put out there in the universe, from Draymond, which I found to be very interesting, that he thought if they did not get Kevin Durant, they would not have beat the Cavs in 2017.
Facts. We were better when we showed up in 17 than we were in 18. We were better, but they were a whole lot better. They were a whole lot better. We went from like an A team, right? To like an A++ team, and those motherfuckers went to like an A++++++++++. They became the professor
giving us the test.
And Kevin Durant knew it. And that's why they were both like, guys, if KD and OKC was like, hey, listen, if we can't beat y'all and they just beat y'all, y'all don't think y'all can beat them again? Nah, we don't think we can beat them again. Why do you think the whole team went out there? The whole team went out there except for Harrison. Harrison didn't get that memo for that private flight. He was like, hey, do you want to come join up? Because there's a big fucker over there in the Eastern Conference that's going to be waiting for us in the finals. And he was like, yeah, you're right. You guys can't beat him. And I say this to not take away from the greatness, and we're joking about it. But ultimately, it was like, hey, the Cavs are really good. But that's part of it. You team up basic looking at the opponent that you're going to have to face. Not like we're going to persevere. It's like, hey, we're going to team up, right? We're going to team up and figure it out. And ever the people that were like, oh, I saw this clip going around of Kobe saying like, oh, you know, that's not what I do. Well, not everybody was born with Shaq on their team. Not everybody came with Shaq on their team. And don't forget, when they won the finals in 2000, Shaq averaged 36 and young Kobe averaged 15. One might say that if you put a young Kevin Durant on that team or a young LeBron James on that team with Shaq, they might also have a ring also from playing with the most dominant player that we had seen in a generation. So players decided to team up based off the opponents they were going to have to face. And you know what? I'm okay with it.
5 years later, did you guys need that validation? Did you need to hear that from?
No, we knew it.
Someone on the...
No.
You knew it?
No, we knew it. We knew it. I said it before.
But Draymond is really smart when it comes to basketball. And the thing about our team was, and he's right, the reason why we didn't double team Kevin Durant is because you fucking can't double team a 7'2" guard. Like, yes, we had to double team the shit out of Steph, right? Because we wanted him to create turnovers. I think people forget Steph, I think, led the team in turnovers that year. So we're like, okay, out of all the people, he's the easiest to trap. Also, if you notice, Kevin Durant got most of his points in transition. He would catch that thing and then just pick and choose which one of us he wanted to shoot over. There's clips of him just, yeah. It's just like, who's guarding me? He's out there doing warm-up drills from half court. We're just like, how do you guard that? And so he saw what we saw. And it's impossible.
This is the last thing I'm going to say about my guy Draymond. And the beautiful thing about talking about Draymond is that him and I have a good relationship. And he knows that there's nothing that I won't say to him privately that I wouldn't say publicly. And so he came out and said some stuff about Kendrick Perkins, right? He came out and said some stuff about Kendrick Perkins, which everyone is sitting here saying, oh, it's offensive and blah, blah. Like, we know that. We know that. But I want to make sure that, like, you know, I'm not defending Kendrick Perkins. I'm defending people in general. If you get on these platforms, and Draymond's got a huge platform, he has done as good of a person to doing media while playing probably since me and Channing. You know, he's probably done as good since me and Channing. And I say that to say this. When you start calling people out their name, and, you know, the term low-hanging fruit, and I said it because I did a Twitter Spaces with Perk. Draymond is so intelligent. He should have people listening to his podcast for maybe some hot takes, maybe, you know, because he is an intelligent person, because of his basketball IQ, because he's a four-time champion, because that's why people should be tuning into his content, not because he is being negative and disrespectful to somebody else. Now, if someone says, hey, like again, Shannon Sharp called me lazy. I made a video about that saying, like, don't refer to me as that. And Shannon Sharp corrected himself. So if Draymond had a problem with someone's takes, if he has a problem with someone's stuff, then come out and say that. I have no problem with Steph saying, oh, these so-called analysts want to say we're not going to be petty. I love petty. You want to come back with receipts? Yes. But when you call a black man coon, when you say these things because of whatever reason, and he, one of his things was like, oh, he's up there wearing this uniform and he's putting on these clothes and he's out here doing all this dancing around. And you're like, bro, I took a pie in my face, right? Like, I've done a bunch of things. We're having fun. That's part of when you have to do a show every day, you find ways to make fun. So calling people out of their name, especially a father of four kids and three boys, and you, Draymond Green, with that platform, is saying those words. Now, if he says something to you and you don't like it, whatever, reach out to him. Be a man. But doing that is disrespectful. And, like, it's not going to have a long shelf life. You're too smart. You're too good. You're too intelligent to, you know, and Perk brought up a point. He says that I'm out here doing this. Meanwhile, he's getting people to tune into his podcast that is on Colin Coward. So, like, Colin Coward is making money while Draymond is calling another black man a coon. Think about that. That put money in Colin's pocket. And I'm not pointing out Colin. What I'm saying is, you want to talk about Perk dancing around and doing some stuff and saying this stuff. Meanwhile, like, you're a part of a network that is, you know, largely, you know, making money for other people, including Draymond's self. But just like we're on a podcast network, but we own this content, you know, I believe Draymond owns his content. But like, we're not out here calling people's names and making money for Blue Wire. We're not doing that. And so, like, that's my thing about this, is that as players are entering into this media space, let's keep it positive. Doesn't mean we have to disagree. Doesn't mean that we have to like each other. Doesn't mean that we have to talk positively. But we have said on this podcast and have edited out hours of stuff to protect people. Like our guests, to protect us from saying stuff and speaking off the cuff. Hours. So just... And Draymond, and look, I didn't reach out to Draymond because, like, Draymond cannot care. Draymond can, that's fine. Like, that's why, whatever. And Draymond knows we've had these conversations privately, right? But I just want to make sure that I voice that I just don't find that acceptable, and that there's no place for that in what we are doing as, like, sports talk people, sports journalists or analysts. Those are my two words. Two cents.
Yeah. I also think we can't talk. We can't just... No, it's not a suck-off fest all the time, right? Like, we have to be critical of things.
Draymond, you playing, get like, so, shit like, during some of those
I could say finals, a bro. Thousand good things. Richard could say 1,000 good things about somebody. Yeah, right, but, dude, we were like, we get what you're... Even he said he was. But that's the thing, is like, if we are wrong, I would always want, if we're wrong, especially when it comes to the game of basketball, I would love and appreciate, whether it's me or Stephen A. Smith or J.J. Redick does a great job of going, no, that's not right. Here's the film to show you why that's not right, so that people learn it and are engaged, right? Because that has less to do with the player. You could say, you know what? I don't think he's engaged. Here's what I saw. Clip 1 through 5. People go, damn, okay, he's been watching film. But to go, yeah, this guy's stupid because he said I wasn't good in game 2. Well, were you? No, but I don't like the way he talks to me.
What?
So that doesn't give you free range to just be upset. Well, we're taking receipts. Receipts for what? Everyone, as soon as you got into the playoffs, everyone's like, well, Golden State's going to win. Like, Golden State or Phoenix. Right? It wasn't like, oh, you were not the underdog. You were not the underdog.
There's nothing but respect. And I go back to the Shannon Sharp. Shannon said something about me. I very intensely disagreed. He commented back. And we shook hands and we went our way. That's not going to be the last time that me and Shannon Sharp disagree. That's not going to be the last time that me and Skip Bayless or Stephen A. or anybody disagrees, or even me and Draymond disagree. Not in this space, because most of our stuff is having like heated debates. And so like, if we can keep it in the space, and if Draymond, if you feel like, or if any person feels like it's gone from basketball to personal, then address it in such. But like going personal, and then more personal and more personal, that's negative. I don't have time for that. I don't want that energy. I don't want to be around that energy.
The name calling.
And that's why. Yeah. That's not. You.
Yeah, you poopy face.
You guys, your chip.
That's the way you take it.
I love you guys.
All right, you guys are awesome. Thanks for the wedding recap. That was phenomenal. And yeah. Next time we get together, I think we'll be at Summer League. Can't wait. Roughing Richard over here. We'll be also officiating.
We'll talk about that.
Hey, Logan, Doug, Marcus, all going to be there.
That's another edition.
Great.
I'm road tripping. All right, road trippers, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Our entire crew loves it, and we know you will too. Prize Picks has the best prop games across the market, whether it's Major League Baseball, UFC 276, Wimbledon, or even NFL Week 1 games. They offer more props than any other DFS operator, and they offer every player and stat category you can think of. Want to get in the game now? There's no better time, with plenty of different sports in full swing. All new users that make their first deposit and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN will receive an instant 100% deposit match up to $100. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players and select an over-under on their daily projections. And you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. Prize Picks even allows mixed sport entries. Use the award-winning Prize Picks app either on the App Store or Google Play today. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Sign up today and enjoy a special bonus offer on us. Check out prizepicks.com and use the promo code ROADTRIPPIN or go to your app store and download the app today. Remember, Road Trippers, Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.